Explanations of the Mishnah. What exactly did the Anshei Tveria do that was against the halacha? So the Gemara we mentioned yesterday when we learned the Gemara, the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, the Gemara itself has two of the three interpretations. The Gemara has one pshat that the Anshei Tveria violated Hatmana, because the Gemara had a machlokes between Rabbi and Rav Yosi, why Rav Yosi doesn't disagree on the next line. If there's a machlokes Rav Yosi in the Tanakhama, where the Bishul told us Sachama is awesome in the Rabbananana, Rav Yosi Matir, how do you read the next line? That's the exact same thing. Bechol Babak Drochim is told us Sachama. So why does everybody agree? That's exactly the Nekudah Samach Lekis Tzim Rav Yosi in Tarkan. According to Rechacham, it's also because Toldus Chama is also, you don't need any more explanation. But it sounds from the Mishnah Rav Yosi also is Maskim Leisa. So Rabbi said that the word Yad Peinenu is a dead giveaway. It's an act of Hatmona. You're not allowed to do Hatmona. Rav Yosi holds that that's not Hatmona. Hatmona is if you have food that was cooked already and you retain the heat, or you add heat, you reheat it, whatever, Ayde Hatmona. You take raw food and you cook it, that you're going to ask it because hatmana, either it's an Issa Bishul or it's not an Issa Bishul. You can't say hatmana on raw food, Bishul Shetitzle. That's the last line in the bottom tosis. So Rav Yosef in the Gemara gave a different explanation. Shema Yosef Zafim Mekam, Shema Zafim Mekam, whatever was the two pshat. So the first pshat was Rabbi Omar, that the reason why it's also is because of hatmana. Then the Gemara continues. Well, look, the next line of the Mishnah. Etc. See, if you hold like rabbis and you understand the story with Anshei Tveria, it was a story of Hatmana. So that's why it's also. But if you hold like Rav Yosef, that the reason why it's also Relayat Menena has nothing to do with Hatmana, it's because of Bishul that told the Sachama. So how do you read the story with Anshei Tveria? So the Gemara says, no. The Anshei Tveria goes back, that goes back to the original Machleg Sabyesi in the Tanakhama, whether there's an Issa Bishul mid the Rabbanim that told the Chachamim. So the Chachamim proved that it's also from the story with Anshei Tveria, that the Chachamim in the city Tveria told the Balabatim they have to discontinue their practice because Chami Tveria is told the Chachamim, and you're not allowed to do Bishul but told the Chachamim. And Rabbi Yosi the Tana and the Mishnah responded to them, no. Amalahu, who told us the word? Who the Chalfi Apis to the Gehenna? Fine. So the Gemara Gufa had two pshatim regarding the story with Anshei Tveria. What was exactly the reason why the Chachamim prohibited it? Is because the Anshei Tveria did some form of hatmana. So that was the one pshat in Tesis corresponding with the first pshat in the Gemara Lamed Tes Amud Aleph towards the Bani. And then the Rabbi Yosef, who disagrees with Rabbah and says that the Mishnah doesn't say a word about hatmana, the verb delayat menena means hatmana, but it's not. The Yisr is not because of Hatmana, so then he understands the story of Anshei Tveria has nothing to do with Hatmana, it's a story of Bishul. So that's why Tosfos had the other pshat, that they used to open up the holes on Shabbos, and they did the Bishul. Or the first pshat in Tosfos, the Tosfos had three Biurim on the Mishnah. So the first pshat in Tosfos was a variation of this pshat. According to the second pshat in the Gemara Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, that the story with Anshei Tveria is an issue of Bishul betol the Sachama. So now Tosfos has two variations of what was going on. Either the Anshei Tveria, the Balabatim, actually did Bishul on Shabbos betol the Sachama. They would open up the holes in the pipe, and the cold water would mix in the burning hot water, and the cold water would get cooked Yatzol Erisbo. So they'd actually do Bishul betol the Sachama. Or no, they didn't do any Bishul at all on Shabbos. They didn't lift a finger on Shabbos. Everything is set up on Erev Shabbos, and the whole story is mutter. You can set up whatever you want. There's no problem at all. But there's a new din. Not only is there a din on Mavashal B'Shabbos, if you violated a Malacha, the Reis of the Rabbanim, you're not allowed to get on Noah. Chamash Uchma B'Shabbos, even Beheter. Even if you set it up on Erev Shabbos. But the Chamash Uchma B'Shabbos, that if you would have lifted a finger on Shabbos to do this, it would have been an Issa Malacha, so even if it happened by itself, it's also also to get on us. So the Tosfos has three pshatim. Basically, they correspond to the two pshatim in the Gemara. And Tosfos has two perushim within the tzad that the Gemara said that it's not Atmana, but it's rather Bishul betol the Saham. What does it mean? They really did Bishul betol the Saham on Shabbos. They opened up the holes in the pipe. The Balabatim mamish violated Bishol de Rabbanan? No, they did everything behet the Gomer. The Balabatim were learned people. They did everything behet the Gomer. They set up the whole system on Erev Shabbos, which is absolutely mutter. Kedetanya perkam post command beginu mismalas walos kol Shabbos kula. That's fine. But there's a new, the Chachamim, the Rabbanim in Tveria came up with a new din that you're not allowed to drink such water, even though it's behet the Gomer. So according to one of the two pshatim in the Anshei Tveria, Amar Rav Chisda, the Gemara has a footnote from the story of Anshei Tveria. You see, Vos lahatmana b'davra ha-moysev hevel ha-filim b'odyam. You see, hatmana is also. Discovered America. Hatmana is also an Ereshav b'davra ha-moysev hevel. So Taisa says, what are you talking about? That's a parrot. Bamet Tomnin. We have two interpretations. What was the story with the Balabatim in Tveria? What did they do? What were they ignorant of? What did the Rabbanim bring to their attention? So we know that din for the Mishnayos, that there's a din of Hatmana on Shabbos, even if it's not Moisev Hevel, even if it's just Mamed Hevel. And in Erev Shabbos, it's also if it's Moisev Hevel. So my Kamash Malon. That's Taisus Kash. So again, this statement, Amar Rav Chisda, is only according to one of the two Pshatim. If you learn that the story of Anshei Tveria was an issue of Hatmana, so it says, here is the Rai Hatmana Zosa. Then Taisus says, what do you need Rai Hatmana Zosa? So Taisus says, I would have thought, you're right, the Mishnah is saying Perik Bametom, the two dinim of Hatmana is one prohibition of Hatmana on Shabbos, even if it's not most of Hevel, just Mam in Hevel. There's another Issa Hatmana before Shabbos. I would have thought that Issa Hatmana before Shabbos is only Ben Ashmashis. But on Erev Shabbos Mamish, maybe that would have been Mutter. The Yomari, the Masif, and the Kamadik, will use Ben Ashmashis, Abadyam, Habmina, the Shori. So then Tosis gets involved in Akasha. And they bring up Rebbe's opinion, which appears Le'el Dav Chesed and Beis. There is a machlokes Rebbe and the Chachamim. We happen to pass like Rebbe. Rebbe's opinion is called Dav Shem Mishum Shvus Legos Rola Ben Ashmoshes. Whatever is only in Issa Derabbanan is Muta Ben Ashmoshes. That it's not true. The statement is not we pass in Halacha like Rebbe. It's a Simi Shulchanah. The statement is missing a little bit. What it means called Dav Shem Legos Rola Ben Ashmoshes. If there's a makam mitzvah, a makam hefsid merubah, it doesn't mean that everything is mutah ben hashmashis. That's how we showed him at hechrech from the Gemara. What is the reason for Rebbe's din? So Rebbe Kibeger has a tshuva where he writes, it cannot be because feka de rabbanon l'kula. You cannot say davishim mishum shvus means it's only forbidden by the rabbanon. Ben hashmashis is a safek yam safek laila. So you put two and two together, you say feka de rabbanon l'kula. So Rabbi Kivega writes in his Chuvah that that's not correct. This is not called Sveika Derabbanan. This is a Sveika Deraisa, which has, it's a Sufik Deraisa, whether Ben Ashmashis is Shabbos or it's Erev Shabbos. It's a Sufik Deraisa, which has ramifications on the level of Deraisa and on the level of Derabbanan. What are you going to say, Ben Ashmashis of Shabbos, it's forbidden to do a Malacha Deraisa and it's permissible to do a Nisa Derabbanan? No, once you say that on Ben Ashmashis, it's a Sufik Deraisa, is it Shabbos? So suffering the rights of the Chumra, even with respect to the ramifications that are only the Rabbanon. So that's not the reason for Rebbe's din. Rebbe's saying a new halacha. It's not based on the standard din of suffering the Rabbanon l'kula. It's based on a new halacha called Dovishim Mishum Shus Legos Rala Ben Ashmashis, if it's a big shas atchak, Epsid Meruga, or Mokha Mitzvah. So, okay, so we happen to pass like Rebbe. There is a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos in Maseches Erevin, where this is quoted also on Daf Lamed Gimel and Erevin. There is a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, and then when you look in Shulchan Aruch where it's quoted, so it's a machlokes the Magen Avraham and the Nesiv Chaim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, whether the din of Rebbe called Dovishim Mishim Shvus LeGozal Ben Ashmashes only applies to the Ben Ashmashes of Knesset HaShabbos or even to the Ben Ashmashes of Yetzias HaShabbos. The Magen Avraham follows one, I forgot which one of the Rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos, follows that opinion, and the Rishonim, he doesn't quote that it's a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. On the page in Shulchan Aruch, they just have a Machlokes Achareinim. Then the latest forum point out, it's an explicit Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos in Erev, and on the Daf, it's not a hidden Machlokes. On the Daf, where the Gemara quotes this din of Rebbe, called Dovashim Shem Shus, etc., so it says, Beferish a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. What's the Mokam Lahachma more in the Bein Hashmashes of Matzoi Shabbos? So the Magen Avraham says that the Zman is Becheskas Issa. For the last 24 hours it has been Shabbos. And now the Bein Hashmashes of Sof Shabbos, of Yitzias HaShabbos, is a Sofik, whether the Zman changed or not. So there's more svara to be machmer there to say that it's the cheskas isa. Ben hashmasha saver Shabbos, there's a more svara to be mako. He really, one could develop an argument and say even on malacha deraisa should be mutar and ben hashmasha on Friday evening, because you have a suffix whether it's Shabbos or not. So shtelach cheskas hefter for the last 6 days it's been chol. So if you're not sure whether it's chol now. Or Kodesh, or Shtela Cheskas Chol. So, obviously, we don't say it like that. The Mishnah says Maseh in Bamem Adlikim. Tavik Hashem, Tavik Ena Hashem. Ein Madlikim is on there. You're not allowed to say that's only a Chumrah mid the Rabbanan. Ein Madlikim is on there. You're not allowed to do a Melacha Derais and the Bein Hashmash is on Friday evening. That's only a Chumrah mid the Rabbanan, because on the level of Derais, you say that this man is the Cheskas Heter. Probably not correct. The Pashto says that it's not correct. How come it's not correct? According to the Magen Avraham, why don't you say that this man, the strange Magen Avraham? So the Pashto says either you say like the Ritvo in Yume, there's a famous Ritvo in Yume that the Ragachova made famous, that the Ritvo says that Ben Ashmasha is, the Ritvo uses this as a mashal to explain something else. This he assumes is a, such a double Pashto. Ben Ashmasha is not a plain Sophic, Yom Sophic Laila, in the sense that you don't know when the Yom ends and the Laila begins. Whether the moment of Shkia, or 3 minutes later, 3 minutes later, 3 minutes later, 3 minutes later, 15 minutes later. Not that it's a simple sophic when Yom ends and then Laila begins. No. Ben Ashmashis is a Zman that has properties of Yom and properties of Laila. So it's really an androgynous, so to speak. It's a Tarta de Sasu. It's both Yom and Laila. And because it has, contains within it elements of Yom and elements of Laila, Bevasachas. So the halacha says we should treat it as if it were a suffix. It's not that it's simply a suffix. The rabbis couldn't figure out the answer all these years since Maimon HaSinai, since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. They should have made a committee and they should have figured something out. Why didn't they come up with anything? So the answer is not so it's a suffix that can't be resolved. Why is a suffix can't be resolved? You can have the world's biggest geniuses working on it. They'll never resolve this. So it's a different kind of suffix. It's a din suffix. What do you mean a din suffix? Whenever something has the status of a tied to disaster, has elements of Yom and elements of Laila, elements of Yom in the sense that it's still light until Tzeisah Kacham, elements of Laila that the sunset. How do you define Yom and Laila? Do you define Yom and Laila? That's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. In the beginning of Bereshis, it describes Vayikri Lukim Lor Yom Lachoshech Kora Laila. So that pasuk sounds like Yom and Laila depend on light and darkness. And the pasuk prior to that, so pasuk until before, describes Yom and Laila, when the sun is shining it's Yom, when the sun is not shining it's Laila. And there's a discrepancy. The sun stopped shining, but you still have Ben Ashmashis. There's a lot of light outside. You can still see outside what's going on. So that's the question. How do you, so there are some dinim, that's the rivet on the first, the rivet has a on the bottom of the rif, the first page of Misachim, on the first Mishnah Misachim, the Ravid writes that there are some dinim deraisa that depend on sunset, sunrise and sunset, and after the sun sets, it's considered Laila v'teres vaday. We ignore the fact that it's Ben Ashmashis. That Ben Ashmashis is Safi Yam Safik Laila. And there are some dinim, but we don't ignore that fact. So the Ritvo writes in Yuma in one place that Ben Ashmashis is a suffix. It's not simply a suffix. The rabbis couldn't figure out when Yom ends and when Laila begins. No, Ben Ashmashis is a time period that has elements of Yom and elements of Laila. And because of the fact that it's a Tarta Desasri, the halacha says you treat it like a suffix. Rav Soloveitchik had many Mishalim like that. You have a Chatzi Ebed, a Chatzi Ben Choren. So he's also a Tarta Desasri. You treat him like a suffix in certain cases. You have sometimes something that's anovim ha'omnim libatzir, something is both mechuber and tovush at the same time, so sometimes you treat it like a sofigim. So you can have different cases like that. So the Magen Avraham is very difficult, that he says that the Ben Ashmashis of Sof Shabbos should be treated more seriously than the Ben Ashmashis of Knesset of Shabbos, because the Ben Ashmashis of Sof Shabbos is the Cheska Sisir. So it should follow the Ben Ashmashis of Tchilo Shabbos should be Becheskas Hefter. So the fact that you ain't Madlikim Bois on there, Safik Hashecha, Safik Ein Hashecha, the Ben Ashmashis of Friday evening should be that Minatur, it's mutter to do Malacha because you shtalach Becheskas Hefter. and it's only a chumer midrabbanan, it's impossible. The Mishnah says that you chayv chatos. Mishnah increases. If a person does malacha min hashmashes, he's chayv chatos. Why is chayv chatos? It's mutam in ator to do a malacha. It's only a chumer midrabbanan. It's not a real. If you have, whenever you have a suffix, you should tell of chazaka. So the pashtus is, the answer is, what kind of chazaka? Either it's a different kind of a suffix, it's a din suffix because of the fact that it's tied to the sasri, or you have to say, if you don't accept that ritva, the pashtus is, the ratanoim increases, so the fairies don't hold like the ritvos. The ritva apparently must have understood that it's a machlegis ratanoim increases. The tanakam increases. Clearly doesn't hold like the ritva. He thinks that up until a certain point it's yom, then after that point it's laila, and the rabbi simply couldn't ascertain all these centuries. They couldn't get together, they couldn't figure out when is the end of yom, when is the beginning of laila. So if you should assume that it's a simple sofik yom, sofik laila, you'll have to say that there can't be a cheskas yom or a cheskas laila. You have to assume that every moment of time is a different chepta. So the fact that for the last 6 days it was chol doesn't affect the next Zman of Ben Hashmashes. Zman is not one unit, the status of which switches. Here, this is Chelek Vav and this is Chelek Hei. These are two different Svarim. It's not the same Sefer, and it sometimes switches to become Hei, sometimes Vav. It's a different Sefer. This is Hei, this is Vav. So Ben Hashmashes, what does the Magen Avraham understand? That Zman is one Chefter, and it changes. For 6 days, this man has the status of Chol. And then it switches to become Kodesh, then it switches back to become Chol for another 6 days. So if you're talking about the thefts of Zman, so then you say for the last 6 days, Becheskas Heta. And then this Bein HaShemash is HaMatzai Shabbos is Becheskas Sisa. The Pashta says, what are you talking about? Every minute is a different unit. The last 6 days, that was Chol. This Bein HaShemash is a different minute. It's a different unit of time. Every unit of time you have to judge on itself.
It's possible, Rabbi Shaykh, that once Shabbos comes in, so until Chol, so every Zman is its own Chefta. Once Shabbos comes in, so the whole Shabbos is one unit. Like the Machlek is the Rush and the Maram Yerutenberg. If Shabbos is a Tashlum to the second before, so all of Shabbos is one unit.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's Shaykh Cheskes Isser. Because the whole Shabbos is one unit, as opposed to Chol, which is a separate time.
I don't know. To me, it's so esoteric. It sounds like a mysticism. I don't know what it means. The Rambam has a machlokes with the Arab philosophers about this, and the Mor and the Vuchim. I don't know what the machlokes is all about. Whether time is one chepta and the status changes, or the different chepta. Of course, a different chepta. I guess you have to know physics, which I don't know. No, you have to know something about relativity. You have to know physics. I don't know. I don't understand what the pilpul is. If you would ask me, I would say that every minute of time is a separate chepta. How can you have a cheskasisa, cheskaseta? I don't know what it means. He's saying that with respect to the din of the Rabbanan. Rebbe, we pastor like Rebbe. That's what he says, but I don't understand. He says you have to be Rebbe's din, that a din de Rabbanon is muta ben hashmash, is only on the ben hashmash of Friday evening. It wouldn't apply ben hashmash on Mitzvah Shabbos. Why? Because ben hashmash on Mitzvah Shabbos, his man is beches kasisa. So follow it to ben hashmash of Erev Shabbos, his man is beches kasefter. So it should be muta min atara to do malacha ben hashmash. So the whole prohibition to do malacha deraisa ben hashmash is Friday evening is only the Rabbanon. Whenever you have a suffix, you get follow chazaka. So if it's really true that the Ben Hashmash of Sof Shabbos has a cheskas iser, shouldn't it follow that the Ben Hashmash of Tchidah Shabbos should have a cheskas heter? So you say somehow it's not the same. could be. Maybe it's not the same. I don't understand what the whole topic is. Anyway, there is a din of Rebbe. Rebbe's din is a new din. It's not identical with the din of Safik Darabana Lakula. Much more than Safik Darabana Lakula. Here, this is not a Safik Darabana. The way Rebbe Kivege points out in the Tshuva, this is a Safik Daraisa, which has ramifications both for Dinam Daraisa and Dinam Rabbana. Namely, is it Shabbos, is it not Shabbos? Is it Shabbos, you're not allowed to do Malachas Daraisa or Darabana? So you should really say Safik Daraisa Luchumra with respect to the Dinam Daraisa and with respect to the Dinam Darabana. So the din is a special kula. You don't say if there's a big shas atchak or macha mitzvah, then you say davishem mishem shvus is muta ben ashmoshes. So Tosis gets involved in akasha. So Tosis, in order to defend what they just said, says v'yeshloim adav amina v'hatzmana hitiru hechmiru. Tosis says one could distinguish. You can split hairs over here and say Rebbe's din called Dovishim Mishum Shlus LaGozal Ben Ashmashes does not apply to all dinim derabbanan. To some dinim derabbanan, yes, and to other dinim derabbanan, not. And maybe Hatmana is more chomer than others. Therefore, in the instance of Hatmana, the rule of Rebbe wouldn't apply. This idea in Tosfos appears in a Tosfos in Erevin, also on Daf Lamed Gimel, which is quoted LaLocha by the Mechaber, and the Rama doesn't disagree. The Tosfos in Erevin proves in the Gemara that there are different levels of dinim derabbanan. Some dinim derabbanan are more chomer than others. The Tosfos says, for example, one is not permitted to carry. You're permitted to carry in the Mishus Rabbans pachas nidalat amos. I pick something up and I put it down 3.5 amos away. What if I pick it up the second time and I put it down 3.5 amos away, and it turns out that sach hakol I carried it 7 amos, but I did it with a stunt. I did a hanocha in between, and then I did an akira and hanocha. So each time I picked it up, each time I carried it, pachas nidalat amos. Each time per se is mutter. To carry pachas nidalat amos is mutter menatar and mutter menderabbana. But to carry pachas nidalat amos, the end result is that the object is 7 amos away from where it was originally. That's also in the Rabbanan. So Tosis proves from the Gemara in Erevin that the Gzera, this is the Rabbanan, pachas nidalat amos, is Gzera chamura, and that we would not be mekalan ben ashmoshes. What are examples of things that we are mekalan ben ashmoshes? The Gemara says to carry in a carmelit. We would be mekal ben ashmoshes if you have a big shas atchak. What else? To climb on a tree. The Gemara says, not allowed to climb on a tree. What if they got left a box of matzahs for the erev tchumen on a tree? So the din that you're not allowed to take anything off of the tree, that's mishtamish b'mechuber. If something is hanging on a tree, we had a Gemara, if the lantern on Yontif, you're not allowed to leave a lantern on the tree because you may take it off. And if you take it off, that's a violation of also mishtamish b'mechuber. To put something on the tree is mishtamish b'mechuber. To take something off the tree, or to climb on the tree, or to lean on the tree, to shake the tree, all of this is included in the Gezerah de Rabban, the Vasa mishtamish b'mechuber. So the Gemara says, mishtamish b'mechuber is muta ben ashmashes, to carry the carmelis muta ben ashmashes, that's beferish. But to carry pachas min dalar amis, and the Rishus Rabban deraisa, says that the hechruf in the Gemara, that you're not allowed to do. What about Amir al-Nochri ben ashmashes? So that's not beferish in the Gemara one way or the other. So the Mechaber quotes the Re, Bala Tosfos, that's Mutter. Amir al-Nochri is only a Rabbanan. And the Mechaber quotes that's Mutter ben Ashmashes. And the Mishkan is Yankev has a tshuva, and a Sefer Kohelos Yankev, where he has all the tshuvas that he left out that weren't included in the original tshuva, Mishkan is Yankev has a tshuva. He thinks that we shouldn't follow this Mechaber. Even though the classical post, nobody disagrees. He lived in the 1800s, a Talmud or a Chaim Volozhiner. He thinks we shouldn't agree, we shouldn't follow the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. He thinks that Amir Eliyakim should belong to the category of more Chamadik Yisur, as opposed to the less Chamadik Yisur. So that idea that Tosfos has, that's what they have over here also. Yishlam Adav Amin Abatmona Hechmiru, that Kol Dovishim Mishum Shvus Lagos Rola Ben Ashmashes doesn't apply to all dinim derabbanan. Some dinim yes, some dinim not. Depends which are more Chamad than the others. So that's what we explained a little bit. Then on the level of the Rabbanan, there are two categories of prohibitions. You have some things that are malachas from the Rabbanan, and some things are gzeris the Rabbanan. Some malachas the Rabbanan, how can you distinguish between what one malach and the other? What some malachas are more important than the other malachas? That is true. Haitzah is a malacha grua. Okay, that is true. The Taisa says Haitzah is a malacha grua. But regards all other intents and purposes with respect to certain details. But you can't distinguish between one malacha and the other. All the malachas are on the same level of Chaymer Hadin. In Gzeiris, you can say one is a Gzeira Kreiva and one is a Gzeira Rechaika. You only have the right to make a Gzeira if there's a real concern. So sometimes there's a very serious concern. If you'll permit this, the next step that's going to happen is that, and a lot of people will Mechavel Shabbos. And sometimes it's a Gzeira Rechaika, it's not going to be so common. If it's very far fetched Gzeira, then Milsa de la Shechel or Gozber Abana. They have the right to institute Gzeira because of a very far fetched Chashash. But sometimes it's a more serious Chashash than in other cases. So when it's a more serious chashash, then it's a gzera chamura. When it's less serious, then it's a gzera kala. So the Chorit Taisvis is limiting the din of Rebbe. Kol davishon mishim shlus lagoz ablein hashmashes. Taisvis says, this seems to be saying it only applies to gzeras kalos, doesn't apply to gzeras chamuras. If the heter of Rebbe doesn't apply to gzeras chamuras, kal v'chaim that it can't apply to any malachas. Malachas on mocham and then all the gzeras put together. No, malacha means it's a malacha and the rabbanon. The gzera means this per se should really be mutter, but the next thing that's going to happen is, if you'll permit this, this will lead to a malach. But this itself is not a malach. So Taisus distinguishes within the category of Xeris. You can't distinguish a thin malach. It's a malach, is a malach, is a malach. I can say this is a malach kala, this is a malach chamura. In Xeris you can distinguish. Is it Xeris kreipa, is it Xeris rechaik? So the Chayra Taisus has a big chiddush over here, that the hefta, the kula of Rebbe, only applies to Gzera Kala, does not apply to Gzera Hamura, and Kal V'Chaymer, you have to add on that it doesn't apply to all to Malachas. So what's the din that Amir Lenachri is Muta? Amir Lenachri is only a Gzera, it's not a Malacha. And what's the din that you're allowed to carry in a Carmelist? Carrying a Carmelist is not a Malacha Midrabbanan. If you would have asked me, I would have said, you're not allowed to carry in a Carmelist, it's Haitzah Midrabbanan. Haitzah, and if she's a Rabbim, it's Haitzah, they're Isa. And to carry in a Carmelist is Haitzah Midrabbanan. I would have said it's a Malacha Midrabbanan. But according to Taisus, Lachari can't say like that. Because if the Gemara says, Beferish the din of Rebbe, Kol Davishem Mishim Shlus Lagazol Ben Hashmashas, applies to Carmelist. We permit you to carry in a Carmelist if you have a big Shas Atzak, if you have a Mach Mefzit. So you see that it's only a Gzera Kala. Not only is it not a Malacha, it's not even a Gzera Hamura, it's only a Gzera Kala. I would have thought, if not for this Taisus, I would have thought that carrying a Carmelist is a Malacha Midrabbanan. Taisus says it's not true. It's only a Gzera. So that was an important line in Taisus. That Taisus says, Yeshlam Davmin Bahatman Hechmiru. Taisus says we wouldn't apply universally the Klal of Rebbe. Kol Davishim Mishim Shvus Lagozo Alabein Hashmashas. Okay, the Gemara, we learned the Gemara yesterday on Lamatas on the base. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Beitza, which records the Machlokes B'Sham and B'Sil. Are you permitted to heat up water to wash Panav Yod of Eraglav? So B'Sil and Matirim, and B'Sham I don't allow. Why B'Sil and Matirim? So we said over the long Rashba, and Beitza has two interpretations. Either because B'Sil and L'Shita Sam, they hold Mitoich, that any Malacha that you're permitted to do, L'Tzarech HaChal Nefesh, you're permitted to do L'Tzarech So cooking water you're allowed to do in order to drink the water. So maybe you're allowed to cook water for Tzarech Yom Tzas. And to wash Panav Yod of Eraglav, that's a Tzarech Yom Tzas. That's one pshat. The other pshat in the Rashba is no. It quotes the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis. Bisilo disagree with Beis Shammai, not only because of the Shittosim that they believe in Mitoch. No, this is better than Mitoch. Bisilo the Rabbi opinion, this is called Echol Nefesh Mamish. All Hanoas Agur fall under the category of Echol Nefesh. That's what Bishilah holds. Beis Shammai hold not so. Hanoas Aguf are not Echol Nefesh, and they don't even believe in Mitoch. So you're not permitted to eat up water, even to wash Panav Yod of Eraglav. Fine, so we pass like Bishilah that it is permissible. Shad is according to Beis Shammai that it's not allowed. Why do they say that it is permissible? Elam Kein Ruyim L'Shtiyah. If the water is Roy L'Shtiyah, then it's Mutter. Why does it help if the water is Roy L'Shtiyah? So you're going to say, since theoretically, if he wants to, he can drink the water, the Jews can drink the water, you're not permitted to do malacha l'tzarech hanochel, lachem v'lo la'akum. So theoretically, the Israelim, the Yehudim, can drink all the water, so even though that's not his intention is to heat up the water adaita to wash pan of yada veraglav. So we ignore his intention. We say that teruchal nefesh sets itself up automatically. Elim kein ruim l'shtiyah. If the water is royal l'shtiyah, then you say hoyel. Hoyel v'mikle le'yachim chazil le'hashten amichazil. That's the machlekes Rabbe and Rav Chizda in Psochim and Daf Mem Zayin Amad Beis. Whether you say hoyel or you don't say hoyel. Hoyel means ha'ifa miyantiv l'chol. If a person is cooking on yantiv and his intention is to eat the food after chol hamoed is over, he's cooking on yantiv. Plans to eat the food after yantiv is all over. Be most achol. So Rabbi says that you don't get malchus because on the level of the rice it's mutter. It's mutter to cook miyantiv l'chol because of this. You ignore the kavanas agavra in order that it should be called echal nefesh. You don't require that there should be kavanas agavra to eat the food today. As long as there is a theoretical possibility that Jews will eat up all the food today, so the situation sets itself up as one of echal nefesh. Echal nefesh is muta meyelav without kavanas agavra. So that's a machlekes nigmara, Rabbi and Rav Chizda, where they say hoyel v'mikle le'ochem chazilei hashten amichazilei. If guests would have come, Jewish guests would have come, they would have eaten up all the food. So that would have been echal nefesh, even though the guests didn't come, even though your intention clearly is to eat this food next week after yantav is all over. So Rabbi holds on the level of the raisa, that's called the heter echal nefesh. With the rabbanon, you're not allowed to rely on hoyel. But in rare cases, we do allow. So Tosis says, is that what the Shammai are saying over here? You're not allowed to cook water. Not even not allowed to, because they hold that it's not echal nefesh and they don't believe in mitoich unless the water is royal ishtiyo. So since there was a theoretical possibility of drinking up all the water, in that case it would have been echal nefesh, and therefore even if lamaisa you clearly don't plan to drink the water, you're going to use it to wash pani or raglav, it's still muta. Why? Because you're based on hoyel. So Tosfos says, how can it be for Tosfos, but by Shammai don't believe in mitoich? That's the way Tosfos words the kash. So Haleis Lehu Mitoich. That's the first line in the Tosfos Elim Kein. The Shammai don't believe in Mitoich. So Rebbe Kiva Egra on the bottom of the page points out Tosfos is confusing two different issues. One is Mitoich and one is Hoyel. The words, the two words sound the same. Mitoich Hoyel, same translation. If you look in the dictionary, but in the middle of the context as the phrases appear in the Gemara, they represent two different ideas. Hoyel v'nikolech and chazalei hashen amichazalei means that echal nefesh sets itself up automatically and there's no need for kavanas agavra. And mitoich is a different topic. Mitoich is a different thing. So just because they shamai don't believe in mitoich, they shamai b'sil argue mitoich. The machlekes about hoyel is a machlekes rabba v'rabchizda in Sochem Dachna and Zayin. Mitoich is a machlekes b'shamai b'sil. So how do Tosfos jump from one to the other? Tosfos says that since they shamai don't believe in mitoich, so therefore you can't say hoyel. What's the connection? So Rabbi Kedega quotes that the Rashba has the missing line from the Tosfos. If you look in the Tosfos Arash, that's how it says. Missing line is that if they shamai don't subscribe to mitoch, kavuchem that they don't subscribe to hoyel. Rabbi Kedega says, why is it a kavuchem? There's two unrelated issues. You look in the Gemara Psachim, it's muchach that it's not toli zebizeh. There is no kavuchem in one direction or the other. He said zeh nista. This is contradicted from the Gemara's kasha mipirchas agmar psachim daf nem zayin on the base. Kamash akos v'atayish shom. The tzorach yivar. He doesn't understand the Tosfos. That's what Tosfos sounds like they're saying. That because they shamai don't believe in mitoich, so it's a kavuchemer that they can't believe in hoyel. What's the connection? Hoyel and mitoich are two different things. You know, from one and not the other, in either direction. So what's takip shat? That's what Tosfos says. So what's takip shat in the Mishnah in Beitza, where it says, Beishami yarmi, you're not allowed to heat up water for panay adav raglav, unless it's royal ishtiyah. So if it's royal ishtiyah, how does it make it better? So he says, no, unless it's royal ishti and he plans to drink part of it. So the cooking of part of it, he takes a whole kettle full of water. He plans to drink some of the water, so even though the rest of the water he doesn't plan to drink at all, he's going to use it to wash panayada viraglav. That's mutta because of marbe b'shiurim an yantiv. Marbe b'shiurim is mutter an yantiv. And who says that marbe b'shiurim is mutter an yantiv? So Rabbi Kivega says, I say, it's a Gemara in Beitza. So the Feirish is a Gemara in Beitza. Memale, the last line of Rabbi Kivega on the page, Memale, Nachum Chavis Mayim, So Gemara in Beitza, that if someone needs a cup of water, let's say somebody wants to drink a cup of water on Yom Tov, and it's late in the afternoon, and he knows he's going to need hot water on Mitzvah Yom Tov. If he says Abdullah, he's going to need hot water to have another drink. So when he holds the kettle under the faucet to fill it up with water, if he's only interested in cooking one cup of water, so hold it on under the faucet for 6 seconds. If he wants to fill up a whole kettle full of water, because he plans to stay up all night on Mitzvah Yom Tov and drink a lot of coffee, a lot of tea, so then he has to hold the kettle under the faucet for 25 seconds. So the Gemara says, you're permitted to hold it under the faucet for 25 seconds and put it on top of the fire, because to hold it under the faucet, you're not doing an added pu'ula l'chol. There's no violation of hachon and mechem Yom Tov l'chol. He has to hold it on. He has to turn on the faucet anyway because he wants a cup of water on Yom Tov. He has to turn on the faucet. He has to hold the kettle. So he holds the kettle for three times as long. So that's not called an isa achana. He's not going out of his way to do another pu'ula, some activity specifically for chol. He holds the kettle. Then he puts the kettle on top of the fire. Then he needs that because he wants to drink a cup of water today. And then even though he cooks 20 cups of water instead of only cooking one, he's doing a malacha to additional 19 cups of water. That's the Gemara that says that Marvi Bishurim is Mutta on Yom Tov. Marvi Bishurim is Mutta Lachatchila on Yom Tov. So that's how Tosfos interprets this Mishnah. The Shammai permit you to cook water, Liraglov, if it's Roy Lishtiya and he's cooking for Shtiya purposes. And he does the extra amount of water that he's going to use upon the other Raglov. And a knife and of Marvi Bishurim, so Marvi Bishurim is Mutta on Yom Tov. So the problem is that Tosfos doesn't quote the Gemara in Beitza. The Rabbi Kadegi quoted that Marbi B'Shem is Mutar on Yom Tov. They quoted Gemara that Marbi B'Shem is Mutar on Shabbos. Is that really true? That Marbi B'Shem is Mutar on Shabbos. They quote, Kidiyoma B'Perek Hador, as it says in Erev and Daf Samaches. What does it say in Erev and Daf Samaches? Nishayle le'ime, itzvicha nechaimu agavime. What's going on there? The Gemara says there was it was on Shabbos, Ahu Yinukid Ishtapech Hamime, there was a baby boy, and it was supposed to have a bris milah today on Shabbos, and they had warm water prepared. Mibod yom, you're not allowed to cook the water on Shabbos. That's machshirei milah she'ev shalatas mibod yom. In the days of the Tanaim, they used to bathe the baby before and after the bris milah with hot water to prevent infections. And if they wouldn't be able to bathe the baby before and after, they would consider it a suffix sakar. Mechaba lived in Tzfas in the 1500s. Of Yosef Karani says that today we just don't waste our time to do that. All the babies survive. Hygienic conditions have improved so much since the days of the Talmud till the days of the 1540s and the days of Rabbi Yosef Kara. He says we don't need to cook any hot water. Not before the bris and after the bris, we don't need this anymore. But in the days of the Gemara, this was considered a suffix sakana to perform a bris. Without bathing the baby with hot water before and after was considered a suffix sakana. So there was a baby, he was supposed to have the bris milah today on Shabbos, and all the hot water spilled, so you can't even get the first base. You don't even have the warm water to bathe the baby in advance of the bris milah. Forget about bathing the baby after the bris, you can't even bathe the baby before the bris. And we paskan against Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer says, even machshirei milah, ef shalasis mebod yom, are also dech Shabbos. Not only milah is dech Shabbos, all the machshirei milah, even the preparation, tachonis, that was ef shalasis mebod yom, you could have prepared it in advance. You're still permitted to be Mechal Shabbos. We don't pass like that. We pass like Rabbi Akiva against Rabbi Leiter. That you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to do Machshirei Milah. So the Gemara says that you're stuck. So the water spilled. And you have to postpone the bris till Sunday morning. So the Gemara says, Nishai Leila Imei. Let's ask the mother whether she feels she would like to have a cup of hot water. Because the din is that this is a story that happened on Shabbos. This story in Erev and Daf Samaches. This was on Shabbos, and the meal of this man is supposed to take place on Shabbos. So the mother of the baby just gave birth 6.5 days ago. This is the 8th day. So just gave birth a couple of days ago. So the din is, if the mother says, Tzarchani, if the mother feels that she needs a cup of hot soup or a cup of hot water, then Amir Lenocher is Mutter on behalf of the Oledes, because the Oledes has the status of a Chodesh Eim B'Sakar. Sometimes the Oledes has the status of a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakar. But you don't need, in order to permit Amir Lenachi, you don't have to have that the person should be a Chel Sheesh B'Sakana. If he's a Chel Sheesh B'Sakana, you don't even need the Nachri. If you can't find the Nachri, you can do the Malachi yourself. The Gemara says, you have to do Amir Lenachri over here. That's how all of Yishayim learn. Nishayle Le'ime, let's ask the mother if she feels that she needs a drink of water. And Itzvicha, if the mother feels she needs a drink of water, then we'll have to ask a Nachri to cook a whole kettle full of water. But the mother only needs a cup of coffee. She doesn't need the whole kettle. The rest of the kettle of hot water we're going to use to bathe the baby before and after the bris. So you see from that Gemara, that Marbi Bishurim is mutter even on Shabbos. The Gemara that Rabbi Kivega quoted only shows Marbi Bishurim is mutter on Yom Tov. Truth of the matter, that's all we want. All we want to prove is that Marbi Bishurim is mutter on Yom Tov. We're talking about Yom Tov. The Gemara quoted a Mishnah from Beit Sadaf Kofala. Bishamay say, if it's royal l'shtiyah, then it's mutter. So we're talking about Yom Tov. We're not talking about Shabbos. So Tosfos interpreted that it's not enough ru'uyim l'shtiyah. Means it's royal l'shtiyah, and he plans to drink some of it. And we're going to be and we have a heter. We have a heter to cook water in order to drink some of it. We're going to be marbe b'shurim, and we're going to cook an extra amount of water. And the extra hot water we're going to use to wash pani out of raglam. So Tosfos has to prove. And how do you know marbe b'shurim is mutter on Yom Tov? So the Shura quoted Rabbi Kivega's Gemara. And Beitza, Mamalei Nachtam Chavis Mayim Af Bishen Tzachela Kitan Echad. Instead of quoting the Gemara in Beitza, they want to make it better. So they quote a Gemara Benegeh to Shabbos. Not only is Marbi Bishurim Mutar on Yom Tov, Marbi Bishurim is even Mutar on Shabbos. Does it really say it in the Gemara? That Marbi Bishurim, isn't it talking about Amir Liyakum? That if the mother is a Yoledes on the eighth day, obviously she delivered the baby last Shabbos. She had the baby last Shabbos, and today's supposed to be a meal of Bismana, which is there for Shabbos. And we forgot to, we spilled the water. We spilled all the water. So the baby has no hot water now. So the Gemara says, let's ask the mother, eat tzricho, if the mother needs a drink, nechaimu agavime. Let's cook a cup of water for the mother. What do you mean cook a cup of water for the oledes? It means aideyakum. Most of the Rishonim learn. We'll ask a nochri to cook some water for the mother. Amir liyakum is mutter b'makom chalush emes hakana, and the oledes has the status of a chalush emes hakana. And then we'll be marbe b'shurim, and we'll cook extra water and use it for the bris. So Tosfos quoted the Gemara in Erevin. That's even better than the Gemara in Beitza, because some Rishonim distinguish between marbe b'shurim on Yom Tov is mutter, marbe b'shurim on Shabbos is aser. The Rashba holds like that. Half of the Rishonim hold like that. Split between Marbi Bishurim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Tosfos doesn't like that distinction. They hold Marbi Bishurim is mutter on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Yeah, but the Gemara in Erevin doesn't really prove it. The Gemara in Erevin, according to most of the Rishonim, is talking about Aideyakum. Nishai Lelim Etzvicha Nechaimu Agavime Aidey Nachri, the Rishonim says. Don't ask a Nachri. There's a local reason in Amir Aliyakum why Marbi Bishurim should always be mutter. Because in Amir Eliyakum, it's only forbidden if the Amir is Asura. I'm not allowed to ask the Nachri to do a malacha for me. Here I had a heter to ask the Nachri to cook some water, because the mother was a chodesh yesh b'sakana, or the mother was a chodesh yesh b'sakana, one way or the other. Mother had the status of a chayla, and either she a chodesh yesh b'sakana, chodesh yesh b'sakana. So we allow the cooking of the water for the on behalf. If it's an Amir Leinakum, we allow it on Shabbos. So the fact that we allow the Nachri to cook a whole kettle full of water, even though only part of that kettle of water the Oledes is going to use to drink or to bathe her body, whatever, and the rest of it when they're going to use to bathe the baby to prepare him for the bris. So Tosfos is proving, you see from that Gemara, that Marbi Bishurim is Mutar and Kol Tarkula. One could argue a point and say that's a local heter in Hilchos Amir Leinakum. It's one amira. When I put a kettle of water on top of the fire, and I could have emptied out half of the kettle, I have enough water in half a kettle for the amount of the tea that I plan to drink on Yom Tov. And I didn't empty out half of the kettle. I put the whole kettle on the fire. That's called Mabishum. That's mutter on Yom Tov. But the shayla is, and that's a chiddush. The Mabishum is mutter on Yom Tov. But here by Amir Liyakum, can you really prove from this Gemara that Marbi Bishurim is mutter on Shabbos? No, Amir Liyakum is not. You say there is no Amira. this amir was beheter. Ayes tenachri, please cook a kettle of water. It takes the same number of words. There's please cook a kettle of water. Or there's please cook a cup of water. Same number of words. Please cook a kettle full of water. Or please cook a cup full of water. The same thing. So how does Taisa see from that Gemara in Erevin? Marbe b'shiurim is mutter in Meleches Shabbos, at least on Melacha d'Rabbanan. Maybe all you see from the Gemara is that Marbe b'shiurim is mutter not merely Akum, because there's only one Amira on everything. There is no ribuy of anything here. There's no ribuy in the Amira. If you do a Melacha and you have a larger volume than you really need, you have a heter pikuach nefesh and a smaller amount. You have a heter of nefesh on a smaller amount, and that's called marbe b'shiurim. You needn't have the heter on the larger amount. But over here, it's an iser amir liyakum. The malacha per se is being done by nachri. The whole thing that I'm doing is the amira. So I'm saying the same number of words, but I ask him, please cook a kettle of water, please cook a cup of water. It's the same amir liyakum.
He cooked extra water for me. I'm not allowed to use that water that he didn't offer to me.
Uh-huh. I mean, if Marbe Bishurim with the Osir, but maybe Marbe Bishurim by merely Akum is Mutter. Maybe that's what's Mutter. But there's more room to argue the case and say that by merely Akum Marbe Bishurim is Mutter. Anyway, that's what Tosfos quoted. Tosfos quotes, instead of quoting Rabbi Kadega's Gemara in Beitzo, that's what they really want to say. The Marbe B'Shem is Mutar on Yom Tov. They don't say that. They say Marbe B'Shem is Mutar on Shabbos. How can it be Mutar on Shabbos? Unless Tosfos learned the Gemara in Erevin, Tosfos in Gittin goes back and forth about this on Daf Tet. Unless Tosfos read the Gemara in Gittin, Shailuli Metzucha Nechaimu Agavim, who's doing the cooking? Nechaim, who's going to heat up the water? A Yisrael or an Achri? So the Pashtus, most of the Rishonim, I think, learn Nechaim, al yidei nak, al yidei akum. We'll have an Achri cook on behalf of the mother. That's Amir Liakim for a Chodesh, Embo Sakona. And then we'll have him cook extra. Other Rishonim learn, no. The mother has the status of a Chodesh, Yeshbo Sakona. And then Nechaim, agadim, it means the Jew will cook the water. Oh, if a Jew is cooking the water on Shabbos, then it's a very good raya that Marbe B'Shurim is mutter on Shabbos. The Jew is doing the malacha. So what gives him a heter to do the extra cooking of the whole kettle full of water? The only thing that heter for a cup of water. So the answer is that Marbe B'Shurim is mutter. Okay, maybe that's what Tosfos understood. But if Tosfos here would have understood the Gemara in Erevin that it means Nechaimu Agavim Agdeyakum, it's difficult. How do they think that Gemara proves the point that in Kola Tarkula, Marbe B'Shurim is Mutter on Yom Tov? It doesn't really prove. It's insufficient evidence. Yesterday we were discussing the Xeris HaBalonim. The Gemara says that the bathhouse attendants used to violate Shabbos. They didn't want to have the logs burning the whole from Friday till Shalshudis time. For almost 24 hours, we're going to have the logs burning. It's a big waste of energy, big waste of fuel to have all these logs burning. So they used to make believe that they had the fire begin on Friday. They began the fire on Friday. The mice said they used to turn off the fire. Then it came Shabbos afternoon, an hour or two before the business was going to come, before the people came to the bathhouse, they would turn on the fire and they would cook up all the water, which would be in violation of Bishul. That's an issue of Bishul, even though no one's going to drink the water. They're going to heat up water in order for people to bathe in the water. But there's an issur bishul even on non-food items before. So the Gemara says, because the balonim were in violation of the Hilcha Shabbos, so that's why they had to forbid bathing in the hot water. So the Gemara has different versions over here. Whether the Gzer was only Bechamen, or the Gzer was both Bechamen and Bitzoinen. So we discussed it a little bit yesterday. So the Rebbe Akiva Eger and Atshuva refers to a Machlekes Achronim. If you should assume the way we assume, that the Gzer, the Rabbanim, was only instituted on Chamen, it was never instituted on Tzoinen, what exactly is the definition on Chamen? So some Achronim say, Chamen means Yatzoletz. Anything below Yatzalev is called Tzedek. Chama means Yatzalev. Others disagree and they think that's a joke. What do you mean? They only prohibited taking a bath and burning hot water. Most people don't take a bath in Rosh Hashanah burning hot water. They take a bath in warm water, not in burning hot water. So the others disagree. They say, no, the Gzeres HaBalanim was instituted if it's warm, if it's poshrim, there's a Gzeres HaBalanim. It doesn't have to be Yatzalev, even if it's less than Yatzalev. Yeah, we understand the double posture that Yad Soled, it does mean Yad Nichvis. People don't take a bath if it's scalding hot water that's going to burn their skin off. That's ridiculous. Of course they're not going to take a bath in scalding hot water. Yad Nichvis. We're talking about Yad Soled. Yad Soled is not the same as Yad Nichvis. So that's a machlokes achronim. So that's a shaila. Is it permissible? So we said yesterday, is it permissible to take a cold shower on Shabbos? So Mikra din we pass him mutter. But the Magen Avraham quotes the Mordechai, quotes the Bali and Taisus, the meaning was they never did it. They didn't do it because they're afraid of Shechita Seir, because they're afraid they may kick the water and the Karmelis. Okay, they may do Hoitzor, different prohibitions. But it's not Medina de Gemara, it's Chumer Sagan. Fine. So let's say, so the meaning developed that you don't take a cold shower on Shabbos. What if a woman has to go to mikveh on Leil Shabbos? The women go to mikveh, so do they have to go in an ice cold mikveh? They're not allowed to go in hot water. So this was a big issue. So throughout all the generations, there were always women who used to crack the ice and go into mikveh and get pneumonia. Some of them would die from the mesiras nefesh to go to mikveh. So the shaila was on Shabbos. Is there room to be makel for the women that they should be tovelet and warm mikveh? So the Baal HaTanya is Yodua, that he in his biography, they quote that he said, if he goes to Gan Eden, he's not sure, if he goes to Gan Eden, so it'll be for three things that he did. One of the three things it was that he was makel that the women are permitted to go into a warm mikveh on Friday night. Yeah. What was his reasoning? He has in the Kuntra Sach in the end of Chelek Orachaim, I think. So he says because the practice is that the women go to the mikveh the second after Tzeisat Kachavim. So if they're going to go into the mikveh the second after Tzeisat Kachavim and it's already warm, so obviously nobody did the malacha of heating up the water right now on Shabbos. Obviously the heating up must have been done way before Shabbos, because the water is so hot. They must have had a job over here, was heating for the last hour and a half. If they would have just put on the fire now, Ben Ashmashes, the water wouldn't become warm enough. So he says that since the practice of the women is that they go to the mikveh right after Tzeisat Kachavim, and this is impossible that they heated up the water, so the Gzeres HaBalanim doesn't apply. The Gzeres HaBalanim only applies not to bathe in warm water if there's a concern that maybe this water was heated on Shabbos. This is impossible. The water couldn't have possibly been heated on Shabbos. It's a difficult svara, because usually we say that Leitzug Rabbanon, when the Chachamim make Gzeres Rabbanon, they say they always have a reason to institute Gzeres, but the Gzeres applies even in cases where the reason doesn't apply. So you're going to say at the table the first second after Shkia, so since the reason doesn't apply, the reason for Gzeres HaBalanim doesn't apply, so it's not shach that they heated up the water on Shabbos. They must have started heating it an hour and a half before. So therefore the Gzeres doesn't apply, it's a shvera heta. There were others have a different heta. The Avni Nezer has a heta. He says that by definition that's not called Rechitza Bechamin. Rechitza means a person bathes, they take a bath. How long do they sit in the bathtub? Some people sit longer than others. But when a person goes to the mikveh, so they just go in and they go out. One second, that's the whole thing. So that's not called, by definition, Avner Nezer said that's not called Rechitza Becham. That has nothing to do with Rechitza. Others had a different practice. This is quoted in the Sidri Tarek. There's one of the later Meforshim on Yeridei Hilchos Nido, where he has long discussions on all the Shachs and all the Taz and Bariches. So he quotes that there was a practice, it's a Tshuva Nechacham Tzvi, there was a practice that a woman who has to go to mikveh on Leil Shabbos would go Ben Hashmashes. Why would they insist? Usually we insist the women have to go to mikveh after Tzeisat Kachav. We don't permit the women to go Ben Hashmashes. But over here, we don't want them to violate the Gzeres HaBalanim, to bathe in the hot water. So we insist they should go Ben Hashmashes. And called Avishum Mishum Shvus Lagozer Ola Ben Hashmashes. So when the table Ben Hashmashes, we say on the one hand we say Ben Hashmashes is Kiyom, is considered as if it's still Friday, with respect to this that they're not in violation of the Gzeres HaBalanim, that they took their dip in the mikveh Mibod Yom, not on Shabbos. But you're not allowed to go to mikveh in the bod yom. The women are supposed to go to mikveh after the shivanikim are all over. That's supposed to go to mikveh on the last day. So with respect to that, that whole din that you have to go, the women have to go to mikveh after the shivanikim are all over, not on the seventh day, that's only midirabbanan. In our Torah, the Gemara learns that from a pasuk that by a zavo it says v'achar titor. So the Gemara darshens v'achar titor means achar ma'aseh titor. After she do a ma'aseh, if she, the woman will make a bedikah on the seventh day, then you have a right to apply the rule of mikveh sayom kekula. This pasuk is the mocker of that din deraisa. Mikveh sayom kekula. We have a din that one is sitting shiva, so the morning of the seventh day they call it quits. That's enough. Or one is in shloshim, so the morning of the 30th day they observe the shloshim and that's it. Where is the mocker? Where does it say this in the Torah? That you say mikveh sayom kekula. So the pasuk is by zava. It says by zava v'safar lo shivas yamim v'achar titor v'achar what? So the Tanoim understand the end of Maseches Nida, Ba'acha Maisei Titor. If she'll do a Bedika on the last day, that will enable her to say Mitzvah Sayim Kukula. You have to do some Nihug, whatever it is. If the woman is a Zava, so the Nihug is that she does a Bedika. If the man is a Zava, he has to do a Nihug. If it's Avelis, the Oval has to observe some kind of a Nihug of Avelis. If it's Nidu Echerim, she has to observe somewhat the Echerim of the Nidu Bayom. So in our Torah, the Gemara says the woman is permitted, she was a Zava, she's permitted to make a Bedikah on the seventh day, and then you say Mikzvah Sayim Kekula, this is the mocker, this is the whole mocker for the institution, Mikzvah Sayim Kekula, V'acha Titar, Acha Ma'aseh Titar, and then she can go to the mikveh that day, and she'll be Muteris L'Baila. However, the Gemara says, Avalom HaChachamim also Lachis Kein, we don't permit you to go to the mikveh on the seventh day, because she may be with her husband, thinking that everything is fine, she's there, and then she may have a riyaz dam later in the day on the seventh day. So when you say mikseyam kekula, it doesn't mean that the day is finished. If she'll have dam later in the day, this will be soyselam afreya. It'll come out that today was not the seventh day of nikim. Today was not a yom naki. Even though she was already tevel, she already made a bedika in the morning of the seventh day, she already went to the mikveh, but if she will have dam and amokar later in the day on the seventh day before the shkia, this will be soyselam afreya, the whole bedika on the seventh day, and it'll turn out that she was with her husband the Yisr. So the Gemara says, "Avol mina teri se achat titar acham aiser titar." She can be tovel in the morning of the seventh day. Avlo machachamim as lasses kain shema tovel idei aver. So the some communities in Europe developed such a heta. Let the woman go. Normally, a woman goes after tzeisat kachamim. She goes to the mikvah on Leil Shabbos. If she'll go after tzeisat kachamim, so she'll be in violation of zeris habalamim. Because we have more mikvahs. If she go to mikvah by yom, she'll be in violation of this isa de rabbanon. Aval alam chachamim also lasses kain shematovah de avera shematira de tista v'tovah de avera. So they said, let the woman go to mikvah bein hashmoshes. So since the both dinim are de rabbanon, the din zeres habalonim is only a din de rabbanon, and the din aval alam chachamim also lasses kain that the zava is not permitted to be tovah by yom. There's only a din midirabbanan. And after it, there's nothing wrong. He said, Niksem kukula. Midirabbanan, you don't allow it. So if she'll be tevel in the mikveh, we'll say, she'll tevel bein hashmashes. So we'll say, with respect to the din that the zava is not allowed to be tevel by yom, that din midirabbanan. So we'll say, bein hashmashes, nina kelaylo. And she was not tevel on the seventh day. She was tevel on the eighth day. With respect to the zeres habalanan, we'll say, bein hashmashes is kiyom. And the same tefillah that she did, she only tevel once in the mikveh. So we'll say with respect to the Yisr Shabbos, we'll say that Ben Hashmashis is Kiyom, so she's not in violation of Gzeres HaBalon. With respect to the din of Zava, that she's not allowed to be Tevel Bayom, we'll say that Ben Hashmashis is Kalayim, and she was Tevel Bayom. So these were the three of the several more suggestions. What room is there to be Mekel to allow women to be Tevel in a mikveh, in a warm mikveh? On Leil Shabbos and Leil Yom Tov. What happened to the Gzeres HaBalon? So the Balatanya says the reason why it's mutter is because they go the first minute of Shkia. What if a woman is in a situation she has to go after dinner? She's visiting by her in-laws and she can't go to mikveh till 12 o'clock at night. Then Rabbi Kevega would say then the Balatanya would say she's not allowed to go to a warm mikveh on Leil Shabbos or Leil Yom Tov. She has to go to a cold mikveh. Doesn't have to be cold. Rabbi Kivega and the other tshuva discusses how warm does the water have to be that you should, the Gzeres HaBalana should apply. So one svara was, it's only forbidden if it's Yad Toledes. if the water is below Yatzal, then it's mutter to the dog there is rechita b'cham. The other opinion was even poshim is also awesome. How much is Yatzal? That is also a big question. We spoke about that a little bit. In the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, he has a big chumr that Yatzal is 114 degrees Fahrenheit. Where do you get the lucky gematria 114? Where do you get a gematria 114? So he quotes a Gemara in Chulin in the first parak. The Gemara has a machlokes. When you shecht an animal, I have a knife that I always shecht animals with. So it's a kosher knife. And once I shecht an animal, turned out to be a trefa. The Gemara has a machlokes. Is the knife boleya from the trefas of the animal? So it depends. Is it seinen or is it raseya? So if you say the beis hashchita the neck at the time of shchita is so hot, that is raseya, then it will cause a bliya. But if you all base hashchita tzeinen, then it doesn't cause any bliya. So we happen to pass in base hashchita tzeinen, so it doesn't cause any bliya. You don't have to kasha the knife. But there was one opinion in the Gemara base hashchita raseya. By the way, how hot is the neck at the time that you do shchita? It's not the same body temperature all the time. When you kill the animal, then it's hotter. Then the neck is hotter. So how hot is it? So different animals, it has a different degree temperature. So they discover, and the Gemara has a machlekes, and they don't say whether the machlekes goes on geese, the machlekes goes on the hens, or the machlekes goes on chickens, or on capons, or on cows, on ducks. It doesn't say what kind of an animal. So the hottest any animal is if it's a duck or a goose, I think a goose, that a goose is 113 degrees Fahrenheit at the time that you shecht, that's the heat of the neck. So that was a machlokes. Apparently that's a pesachtikel borderline. And we paskin over there, the hakol beis hashchita is tzeinen. It doesn't, it's not cham, it doesn't make a bliyas iser. Then maybe that's only 113. That was borderline. If it'll be a little more than 113, no. So he says 114 is more than 113. Hamashahu. Say 123. That's what we, in America, everybody, we consider this a chumrah. That we consider past 120 degrees Fahrenheit, we're machmah to consider that yatzalet. That's a chumrah. Basically, 120 degrees is very hard to believe. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that he tested it. He thinks that the yatzalet is somewhere between 140 and 160. He's not sure how much. So in America, all the kashrus organization, machmah, 120 is considered borderline. It's relevant for chocolates. Because when they melt chocolates in the factories and they put them in form, so sometimes they have parva chocolate, sometimes they have milchit chocolate. So how do you have to kasha when you have milchit chocolate and you want to have parva chocolate? So is it necessary to kasha? So the question is, well, how hot were the chocolates in the first place? If you're going to make the chocolate 185 degree temperature, that for sure is going to be yatzalet. So Moshe is not sure. How much is Yatzalet? What's the highest degree Yatzalet? Usually in Hilchos Shabbos we want to know what's the biggest Chumrah, what's the lowest degree Yatzalet. But there's a case where we have to ascertain what's the highest possible Yatzalet. Why? When it gets to Maga Nochri B'Yayin Yisro. If the Yayin is Yayin Mevushel, then the Gemara says that the Maga Nochri does Nasa. Because you cannot use Yayin Mevushel to be Menasa Chagabi HaMizbeach in the Beis HaMikdosh, because it's Garua, because it's inferior quality wine. And because we would never use it in the Beis HaMikdosh, the halacha doesn't permit us to use Yayin Mevushel for Nisach Hagav Yom Mizbeach, so the Avdi Avodah Zarah would also never use it to be Menasach Chil Avodah Zarah. If a Nochri takes water in Menasach Chil Avodah Zarah, the water becomes Aser also. Whatever he does, he can pour orange juice, he can pour Yayin Mevushel also. If we know that he did it L'Shem Avodah Zarah, the water is going to become Aser. We don't know what he did. We're just Chayshed, not Big Sher. Maybe the Nachri was Menasech this stuff Lavadizar. So it's highly unlikely that it's going to be Menasech Yayin Mevushel Lavadizar, because the minig always was weird. By us it's a din, by them it was a minig. They don't have any dinim. That Yayin Mevushel, they're not Menasech, usually they're not Menasech it Lavadizar. So that's why the Gemara says the Chachamim will never geyser a Yayin Mevushel. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Ozer Ruah had a safek in Hilchot Yayin Mevushel that Maga Akum doesn't Aser. How hot does the Yayin Mevushel have to become? How hot does it have to become when you pasteurize the wine? How hot does it have to become that it should be considered Yayin Mevushel? So in America, the rabbi who originally used to give the Hashgacha on the Kerem wine, the Chassidish rabbi, he followed the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach, that it's only considered mevushal if it reaches 212 and it's bubbling and it's evaporating. It's mala v'sicha and it's mismayit. Part of it is evaporating, so then it's considered gorua. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He says that's not to be taken literally, even though that's what it says in the mechaber. That's what it says in the shach, that you're cooking it mala v'sicha, mala babuais, and it's mismayit, and part of it is evaporating. Rav Moshe says, but look in the Rishonim. The Shulchan Aruch can't invent anything; has to come from Rishonim. What do the Rishonim say? So the Beis Yosef quotes an ozerua. Ozerua is mistapei based on the Gemara Mem Amid Beis. The Gemara says regarding water. Regarding water, it's only a violation of Bishol on Shabbos if you cook the water till the point of Yatzaledisko. Regarding Shemen, there were three different opinions. Whether Shemen, even if you cook it to Yatzaledisko, there's no Bishol on Shemen. There's no prohibition of cooking Shemen on Shabbos. Or maybe there is Bishol. And Hefsher is El Bishulo. If you cook Shemen, you make it lukewarm, that's already an Issa Bishol deraisa. Or maybe on Shemen there's an Issa Bishol and Hefsher is El Bishulo. It's only called Mavushol if it reaches the Yatzaledisko. Shem said the different opinions in the Gemara. So the Yozarub raises the Safek. How hot do you have to cook the wine that it should be called Yayim Mavushol, that the Magakum shouldn't ask? Is it sufficient if you heated up the wine till the point of Poshrim, the wine became a real little bit lukewarm? Was that not sufficient? Maybe you need Yatzaledisko. He says, well, let's throw in a Chumra already. So you need Yatzaledisko. But the whole Chumra that he said was that poshim is not enough. You have to have yatzal lettuce. That you should cook it till 212, that it should start evaporating. No one ever imagined such a chumr. So Moshe says the Rishonim don't have such a thing. The lashon of the mechaber, the lashon of the shach is labdavka, that they say it has to be bubbling and start evaporating. That's 212. It doesn't have to be so hot. So it just has to be yatzal lettuce. How much is yatzal lettuce? I'm not going to say 114. 114, the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa stood on his hand. He had a whole chumr. That 114 maybe is the lowest degree that it could possibly be Yatzaledisko. Here we want to know what's the highest degree. How hot do you have to cook it that you know for sure that this is called Yayim Mevushal? So Moshe Feinstein has different tshuvas about the topic. So one tshuva writes, Kuf Pehei, 185. 185 degrees, that's mamish. Your fingers will fall off. That's worse than Yad Nichves. How can be? Very schwer. So another Shulchan Rav Moshe goes down a little bit. Kufayin Hay, 175, something like that. He's not sure. 170, 175, 185, somewhere around over there. So that's a Shaila. There's a range. Rav Soloveitchik thought that Yatzaledisko must be between 140, 160. Rav Moshe can see that it could be 185. And one Shulchan right could be 185. So the Maisa, we're Machmer in America from 120 on, but we consider that the borderline, really. We don't really think 120 is Yatzaledisko. So the chocolate, if you're going to cook chocolate, if you're going to heat up the chocolate till the temperature of 185, it's going to burn. It's not going to be very hot. The chocolate will burn. It won't taste good. So they never heat up the chocolate to 130. The chocolate is always either a little below 120, a little above 120. So that's a shaila, and they're careful to their medaktik not to make it too hot, or the stuff is going to burn. It's not that it's going to get cooked faster. If you cook a kettle of water on a very high temperature, it'll cook faster. If you cook soup on too high temperature, it's not going to get cooked faster. It's going to get burnt. So the same thing with chocolate. So that's a shaila. When they made milchik chocolate on the line, and then they want to kasher the line, want to do hagole in order to make parva chocolate, do you really have to kasha the line? It was only 122 degrees maximum when they made the milchik chocolate. So maybe that's considered silent. Maybe that's not considered the Yatzaledisko. So that's a shaila. So coming back again, so Rabbi Kiveger and the tshuva, a different tshuva, quoted, Rabbi Kiveger and the tshuva quoted the machlekes sachronim. This Zeres HaBalonim that we pass in Medina, the Gemara only applies to Chamin, not to Tzainin. The minig was that you don't do Rechitza B'Tzainin either. But if the woman has to go to mikveh, so you don't observe a minig in such a case, she has to go to mikveh that night. But she can't violate just because she has to go to mikveh. She can't violate the Easter of Zeres HaBalonim. So the shaila is, how hot does the water have to be that it should be included in the Zera of Rechitza B'Chamin? So the Kedegin quotes Machlokes. Some say Yatzaledisko. And some say if it's poshrim, it's also included in the Gzera D'Rabbanan. So the Mishnah Brura says, Mishnah Brura in Hilchos Yomtov quotes from the Beis Meir. Beis Meir was a cousin of Rabbi Kiveger. They were contemporaries, he used to correspond. So the Beis Meir writes, on Yontif, if a woman has to go to mikveh in the water and the mikveh is freezing, so this is l'chala day, it's okay. If you're going to cook, this is called Dabah Hashav l'chol nefesh. The woman doesn't want to be tovel in a freezing mikveh. It's very uncomfortable. So she wants someone to pour in hot water to take out the chill from the cold water. That it shouldn't just to take out the chill. So that's l'chala day is not a problem. That's not a problem of rechitza b'chamin on Shabbos. It's not even poshrim. It's not even lukewarm. You just poured in enough hot water to take out the chill from the cold water. That's l'chol day is okay.
You all like the Ramban? That's gzeira to Shabbos?
Yeah.
So why should you more?
The gzeira to Shabbos is the rechitza b'chamin, but not the cooking. Let's say, you're not allowed to cook a kettle of water on Shabbos on Yom Tov. You are allowed to cook it. Why? That's the heter achal nefesh. So Echol Nefesh applies in Malachas to heat up water in order to take out the chill from the mikveh, that's permissible. The Gzeres HaBalam, not to bathe in hot water. So that's a machlokes achrayim. How hot does water have to be that it should be also to bathe in at the Gzeres HaBalam? But if it's only to take out the chill, that's l'chaladeh, so there's no Gzeres HaBalam on that.
Wasn't there a story
of
the coin Gadol on Yom Kippur, if it was all the thieves throwing the iron bricks?
Right, the Mishnah
why
says.
Why should there be a problem to begin with that women should go in cold water on Shabbos?
Some Rishonim are of the opinion that a hot mikveh is the chlal pasul.
Okay, but at least we see that you didn't get the chills.
No. Some held that a hot mikveh is mamish pasul, because how do you make a hot mikveh bizmana gemara? By using maim shuvim. So that's why the gemara has a lashon. Fila b'chamin miiko. How is it ever possible to be tevel b'chamin? By us, we have hot water, and it's not the maim shuvim. You have a pipe of steam that goes through. The water is in the mikveh. Water is in the mikveh, and we have a pipe of hot steam that goes in and it warms it up. But in the days of the Gemara, this was inconceivable. So the only way they had hot water was they would cook the water in a pot and pour it into the mikveh. So all the hot mikvehs would be maim shuvim. So that's why the Gemara has an expression. Whoever heard of tefillah b'chamin? Tefillah b'chamin mikveh. How is that possible? So that's why the Mordechai quotes in the Shulchan Aruch. They quote an opinion that if you have a hot mikveh, it's possible. So we don't pass it. Quote two opinions, and we make a lot of that. So they ask, how can it be a hot mikveh is possible? But it says in the Mishnah in Yuma, if the kengodel is an old man, istinus, a chayla or something, so you heat up the water, and then it's going to be toivel in a hot mikveh. So how can you say that a hot mikveh is possible? So the Mordechai answers, ein shvus ba mikdash. Ein shvus, that's what we discuss. Ein shvus ba mikdash achidish. Means not only ein shvus ba mikdash in Hilchos Shabbos will make it, even in Hilchos Mikvos. A mikveh that's hot is possible with the Rabbanon, Gzer Mishum, Maim Shuvim. So that Gzer of the Rabbanon of no Tvila Bechamin was never instituted in the Beis HaMikdash. So you can see over here also that this is, maybe there was a Gzer HaBalonim. There should have normally been a Gzer HaBalonim against being Tevel and a hot mikveh. But in the Beis HaMikdash, since you need the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, and he doesn't feel well, so in Shuvim HaMikdash we permit him with Tzarech HaKrovas HaKarbonis. We permit him to be Tevel Bechamen on Yom Kippur. But if it would be... By Tfilas Ezra, Takanas Ezra, the Rabbanon, Shuvim does not passel. That's the Gemara. Yeah, you need a real Tfilah. Kangrod is a real Tfilah there, I said. Chamish Tfilas is Tevel Bobayam. The Gemara says, Allah HaMoshe Messina has to be Tevel 5 times. So that means in a kosher mikveh, not in a passel mikveh. For the purpose of removing Takana Sezra, so the Gemara says in Brachas that even Tefillah the Maim Shuvim is okay. So that's what we were working on yesterday. Let's say a person wants to take a warm shower on Yom Tov. Is that allowed? So according to Tosfos, they still will only permit you to cook water on Yom Tov to wash Panav Yodav Ragla, but to wash Kol Gufa is not allowed. Why? Because it's a Dov Shein Shav L'chol Nevesh. Dov Shein Shav L'chol Nevesh, Taisus defines as what? Something that's only L'tainig and not L'briya. So the Ramban says Taisus is wrong. It was never true. Even if Taisus thinks that it was true, but Bizman Azeh is not true. Bizman Azeh, the doctors recommend that people should take a warm shower. If you take a hot shower, it certainly is L'briya. It's not just L'tainig. So if you don't hold from the Ramban, just hold from Taisus, then it should stand be mutter to take a hot shower and a hot bath on Yom Tov. The only thing is that people are choshish for the Ramban, that the Ramban says you have a gzeres habalonim, so then you have to be careful not to, so even though it's a dover shavuot chanam, you still have the gzeres habalonim. So you have to figure out, when does the gzeres habalonim not apply? So Rabbi Kivegi has the two opinions. So one opinion is if it's poshim, there's no gzeres habalonim. The Chumra opinion said even if it's Poshim, there is a Gzeres HaBalonim, only if you turn on the hot water in order to take out the chill. Okay? So that would be Mutar L'Holidays. And that, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Beis Meir, that that's also called Dav HaShav L'Chol Nefesh, that people, normal people, don't enjoy taking a very cold shower. They want to cook a little water in order to take out the chill from the cold water.
Well, isn't even if you say that the Gzeres is on land, it's not that they, wasn't it that not that they heated it to Poshim, that they heated the water to God's letter or more, and then poured it in later, and that's what made the water Poshim, not that they just heated it up a little bit. Because
could
be,
okay.
Because that's the way that we say, why isn't it the mikveh is basul, the mikveh is basul, and whoever heard of a hot mikveh, because you're pouring the water in, not because you're just heating the water up a little bit. Yuma.
Yeah.
Since the reason that you're saying that it's going to be Ram Shuvik, but that's how you need the mikveh.
So that's also what about Tanya. What about Tanya? You could say his thing because if it's cooling down, that the water would have had to have been added beforehand. I said, you don't make the Gerah. It's an interesting distinction, but why should you say like that? Difference between whether the water was once Yatzah Letters and cooled down to Poshrim. Then you're not allowed to do rechitza in such water. But if it was only poshim to begin with and never became atzeres, then it'll be mutter to bathe in such water. I don't know. Could be. I'm not familiar. That's an interesting possibility.
Would we
be b'shiurim? I don't understand the question. Yeah. Tesis is within Beis Hillel, within Beis Shammai. You heat up the water a little bit, you're going to drink, so then the rest is Marbe B'Shurim, so then you can use the rest to wash Pani Yadaragam. So you're asking Akasha to cook up water for Pani Yadaragam, Beis Hillel says permissible, so let it be just Marbe B'Shurim to cook up a whole bathtub. Take a whole shower.
Tesis says no.
Yeah. Obviously no. Has to be no. Yeah. The question is why not?
Yeah.
There's a difference. That's not Marba Bishurim. There's a difference between Pan of Yoda Viraglo and Kol Aguf. If you all, Taisu says Kol Aguf is Davash Ene Shavu L'Chol Nefesh. Pan of Yoda Viraglo is Davash Shavu L'Chol Nefesh. That's Lebrius and this is Latinus. They're two different things.
What about
Ramban? Ramban thinks that it is Shavu L'Chol Nefesh. He thinks it's Mutter, Menatar is Mutter to cook the water, but the Rabban is also to bathe in the water. Because of the Gzeres HaBalonim, yeah. Ramban says that the Gzeres HaBalonim that was instituted vis-a-vis Shabbos applies also to Yontif. You carry over all the Gzeres from Shabbos to Yontif. Let's see. That's what it sounds like. That rechitza the poshrim is awesome. That's what it sounds like in the test. Yeah, the Gemara Mem on the base discusses Bishul Bishemen. Okay, the Gemara had the different opinions. Then they quote three-way machlokes satanoim. Reb Shimon Gamliel has a kula. Isha Sach Yad Bishemen. Reb Shimon Gamliel holds that there is Bishul Bishemen. There is an Isha Bishul Bishemen. If you take a bottle of shemen and you put it next to the fire, that'll be Bishul Bishemen. But if the Isha smears her hands, the mother of the baby has to take care of the baby. Days of the Gemara, they used to bathe the babies much more often than today. The Gemara says that on Yom Kippur, they used to bathe the babies. There's a din, Osa l'achilu b'yadayim. Emma v'amarta l'hazik do'ilam alaktanim, and next week said in the beginning of Parshas Hamor, says you're not permitted to be mitami a cotton, you're not permitted to give macholas asuras to a cotton, you're not permitted to shave off the pace of a cotton. That's called osel afilo biyadayin. So the shaila is, what about on Yom Kippur? They used to bathe the babies on Yom Kippur. So what happened over here? There's an Issa Rechitza. So the Gemara says, no, Hani Revisa. Why do we feed the babies on Yom Kippur? What, it's a Safek Sakana? Usually it's not a Safek Sakana. If a little baby would be left without any food at all, no food, no drinking for 24 hours, it's not going to die. It's not going to get sick, it's not going to die. So the Minchas Chinuch suggested that it's also to feed the baby on Yom Kippur, because also lachil biyadam. The only time you're allowed to feed the baby is when there's a suffix sakana, which there usually isn't. A baby, no suffix sakana. The baby will be screaming his head off, but there won't be a suffix sakana. So the Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer Yoshe quotes some contemporaries of his who held like the Minchas Chinuch, and he makes fun of that. He says that that's ridiculous, because the Gemara says in the end of Yumna, the Gemara raises an issue. How are you permitted to bathe the babies on Yom Kippur? You used to bathe the baby every day, including Yom Kippur. Gemara says it's muta because Haina Revise. What do you mean Haina Revise? What, it's a suffix sakana? If you don't bathe the baby every day? No, what kind of, it's not a suffix sakana. Gemara just says, since that's the natural routine, that's Bismarck Gemara, you used to bathe the baby every day, so therefore you're allowed to bathe on Yom Kippur as well. So the same as far as feeding the baby. Normally everybody feeds the baby a couple of times a day. You don't let 24 hours go by without feeding a baby. So whatever is Haina Revise, so there's no problem of Asa Lachila Biyadayim. So the Gemara discussed over here also. They're very concerned about smearing the baby. After they bathe the baby, then they smear the baby with oil. So they had to smear the baby with warm oil. Now, how do you heat up the oil? So you can have a bottle of oil on the fire from before Shabbos. Yeah, by the time they no one was interested in doing that. So they're going to heat up the oil on Shabbos. So one time it says, no problem, there's no bishul on oil finished. No opinion. My colleague is Samaroyim, is there a bishul on oil on Shemen on that? Rabbi Rav Yezdan, Tavei Ala Hatera, Shemen Ala Gav Shiat Salat is Bamutan, so Ein Bo Mishum Bishul. The first wide line on Mem and Beis. Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees with the Tanakama, and he holds that there is bishul on Shemen. But he says, if instead of holding the bottle next to the fire, she'll dip her fingers, the mother will smear her hands with oil and hold her hands next to the fire. So that's bishul kalachayad. So bishul kalachayad is only an isa de rabbanon. It's not an isa de raisa. So since it's only an isa de rabbanon, so we allow it on behalf of the tinoik. Why do we allow it on behalf of the tinoik? So obviously you see from the Gemara that tzorchiat tinoik is Rav Shimon Gamliel. You see that Rav Shimon Gamliel thinks that Tzorchei HaTinoik is considered like a Chodesh Ein B'Sakana, and Mamakam Chodesh Ein B'Sakana, you're permitted to do a Malacha Kalach Yad. And the Gemara says that the Tanakhama disagrees. See, the Gemara asks at what point about the seventh or the eighth wide line. According to one version over here, according to Rab Nachman by Yitzchak's version, Rab Shimon Gamliel, Haina Tanakama, they both say the same thing, that there's bishul on Shemen, and for the Gemara, kemenai kalachayad. What if I'll heat up the oil, kalachayad, is it mutar or not? So Tanakama says that's not a heter. You're not allowed to heat up the oil in order to smear the baby after you gave him the bath on Shabbos. Obviously you gave him a bath on Shabbos also, like they gave him a bath on Yom Kippur, and if they gave him a bath, then they smeared him with oil. So it's preferable to smear him with warm oil. So the Tanakhama says, sorry, there's no heter. You're not matik lachayah. And that's how he assumed, like the Tanakhama. And Shimon Gamliel thinks, no, you can be makel to warm up the heat, the shemen kalachayah. So Reb Shimon Gamliel's sheet is based on a few premises. Premise number one, that the Tzorchei HaTinoik considered a chol d'shem b'sakana. Premise number two, that is bishul b'shemen. And premise number three, that if you do kalach hayad, that's only the rabbanon, so therefore it's mutam amakam chodesh em b'shemen. Why do we reject his opinion? So the Ramon Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rishonim and say, halacha l'maisa, the first premise of Reb Shimon Gamliel is accepted l'halacha l'maisa. Tzorchei HaTinoik is all considered like chodesh em b'shemen. The tzorachim of the tinoik is. We don't accept his opinion that he says you're allowed to do amalacha deraisa kalach hayad. That apparently we don't accept his opinion. A melacha deraisa klachayad perhaps is considered a melacha midirabbanan. And the only thing you permit is a gzeirim. For a chedush em b'sakon, you only allow gzeiris. You don't allow melachas. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that it's not true, that even a melacha deraisa klachayad is also considered, is only considered a gzeirah. It's not even considered a melacha midirabbanan, because in order, the correct word is not melacha. The correct word for the prohibition on Shabbos is melachas machshavos. So whatever you do on melacha kelachayad, that's a lack of melachas machshavos. So by definition, there is no issue at all. So you can't even say that it's a melacha midirabbanan. There is no such thing as melacha. That's awesome. Melacha has to be a melachas machshavos is awesome. Once you do kelachayad, it's not called melachas machshavos. So it's lower down to the level of gzeira derabbanan. So that's what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds. That's the question, why exactly, which part of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel have we rejected? How come we pass from like the Tanakhama? Why don't we pass from like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? So the Tzorchei Atinak is considered like Chodesh Em B'Sakon, that part we do accept. What about the Melocha Deraisa Kalachayad? Is that Muta for Chodesh Em B'Sakon or not? So that's the Machlokes, the Magen Avraham and the Baal HaTanya. The Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham. He doesn't. The Mishnah Berurah always quotes the Baal HaTanya. About every page of the Shulchan Aruch, he quotes something from the Shulchan Aruch. Over here, we decided not to. So the Mishnah Berurah passed him like the Magen Avraham, that for Chol Hashem B'Sakana, we would only permit a Melacha Derabbanan Kalahayat. We wouldn't permit a Melacha Deraisa Kalahayat. Apparently, he understood that that's exactly the machlekes of Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakhama. Shimon Gamliel holds a melacha de'araisa kalachayad is called a gzeira. It's not even a melacha rabban; it's only a gzeira. So therefore, b'machem chodesh em b'sakon es muter, and we don't pass like him. We pass like the Tanakhama that a melacha de'araisa kalachayad is a melacha midirabbanan. So there's no head to do it for chodesh em b'sakon. But the Baal HaTanya says that the Magen Avraham misunderstood the Ramban. He says the Magen Avraham didn't have a Ramban Teres Adam. He says if you look in the original Teres Adam, he says beferish that Malacha Deraisa Kalachayad is Muta for Chodesh Em B'Sakon. So the Tanakam is even agreeing with that part of Rav Shimon Gamliel. So why doesn't he pass like him Malacha Lamaisa? Unless he feels that this Tzorach is not that important. This is not such a great Tzorach of the Tina. Sure. He argues on the details. But in principle, he agrees with the Tanakam, agrees with the Rav Shimon Gamliel, that Tzorchei HaTinak is considered like Chodesh Em B'Sakana. And you permitted, you treat the Tinak like a Chodesh Em B'Sakana. Because if you're not going to take care of it, the kid won't be able to baby, he's not going to be able to function normally. So that's the definition of Chodesh Em B'Sakana. Yeah, what does the Gemara have over here also? Let's say I want to warm up some, have some cold water, and I want to warm it up in order to drink it, in order to pour it on the body, on Shabbos. So the Gemara quotes at the Sefer, 10 lines from the top of Mem and Beis, Tan Rabban, maybe Adam keep the mind menichah, keneged amdur, lo b'shul she'achemu, el b'shul she'tafik tzinosan. How do you translate the words, lo b'shul she'achemu, el b'shul she'tafik tzinosan? So Rashi writes, "Lo bishvul sheivashol shelo tanechenu sham kidei bishvul shtei yatzaledes boy. You shouldn't leave it so long that it may become yatzaledes. You should take it away after it reaches the point of shetafik tzinosa." So from Rashi, it sounds like he holds that you're permitted to put cold liquid on the fire in a location where theoretically it could become yatzaledes if you plan to watch it. And to take it off before it becomes yatzaledes, that there is no gzera derabbanan prohibiting that. So b'shvil she'achemu means not to leave it so long. At she'achemu, Eli can only leave it so long b'shvil she'tafik tzinosa. But they're leaving it in the same location. The Rashba quotes a Yerushalmi that says the Farish that that's not allowed. To put cold water from the tap and put it in a kettle, put the kettle right on top of the fire on Shabbos, but to stand there with a stopwatch. And I know how long it takes to heat up the water, so I'm going to only leave the water in the kettle on top of the fire for so many seconds, so many moments that it should take out the chill, and I'm not going to let it sit so long that it should become yatzaledes. So the Rashi quotes Yerushalmi says that that's gzeira derabbanan, and you may forget. You may become absent-minded, and you may forget why you're standing there, and you may let the water become yatzaledes. So how does the Rashi translate He's not allowed to leave it in a location where theoretically it could become Yachemu. Only you're only allowed to leave it in a location. I can take a kettle of water from the tap and put it on such a point in the blech that even if I leave it there till after Abdullah, it won't become Yatzaledis. But if I'm going to put it, soak water from the tap, put it on the fire in a location where if I leave it a couple of hours, it will become Yatzaledis. Even though I plan to remove it in 3 minutes, so the Rashi, because Yerushalmi, you're not allowed to do that. Truth of the matter is that you look in Rashi later on the daf, it could well be that Rashi only translated that that's what the Tanakhama says in the Braisa. It doesn't necessarily mean that he passes like that. Because Rashi writes later on the Gemara, right before the wide lines tick up again in Rashi, Shmamina have shared with Mokam Roy Lebishul, they'll be Shuloi. But Mokam Haroy Lebishul, Rashi learns by the Hefsher is El Bishuloi, Hefsher Lo is El Bishuloi. In the Gemara, it's not a discussion that you're already in violation of Bishul for making poshret. If I make it lukewarm, it's already a violation of Bishul. No, I'm not allowed to leave food in a location, but Mokam Haroy Lebishul. Even though I'm only planning to leave it there for a moment or two, I'm only going to leave it there that it should become poshim, but I may forget and I may leave it there longer, in which case it will become Yatzaledis. So that's Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. According to Rashi, what the Rashba discovered from the Talmud Yerushalmi says in the Bavli itself, Rashi learns that is the Machlokes where they have Sheriz El Bishuloi. The Ozaro didn't learn like that. The Ozaro was talking about how hot you have to cook the wine that it should be considered Yayim Arushal, that Magakum does not. So he says, well, in the Gemara, it's a Machlokes, but they have Sheriz El Bishuloi. According to Rashi, there never was a Machlokes, have Sheriz El Bishuloi. That Poshim is called Bishul. No. Poshim is Exerah Rabbanim, but Makam Arai Lebishul, he may forget. But not Hefsher is El Bishulah. The Ozeruah didn't learn like Rashi. The Ozeruah learned Kipshuto. Hefsher is El Bishulah means that that's a Bishul Deraisa. But Rashi learns what the Rashba learned from the very beginning on the first line. Maybe Menichas Kenegenam, the Ola Bishul Shiachem, Ola Bishul Shtavik Zanazo. What the Rashba learned there, you can't leave it in this location. You can't leave it in that location. So Rashi comes out to that later on the Daf. It could be that Rashi never really disagreed. Halacha L'maisa with the Rashba. It could be that Rashi only in the beginning of the Sugya says that. As the sugi proceeds, could be that Rashi backs up. Because in the Hemshech of the discussion in the Gemara. We have the Gzeiras Refuah on Shabbos from the 24 Prokim of Masechta Shabbos. There's one parak that's all about Perek Shmoneh Shu'atim. It's all about Refuah. The Gemara gives all kinds of Refuahs there. So the Gemara says the Tanoim instituted the Gzera that you're not allowed to apply Refuah b'Shabbos. Gzera Mishum Shchika Samamonim. He may grind up the Samamonim. What if the guy's not using Samamonim? What if he's using a hot water bottle? He can't grind up the water. He can't grind up the plastic hot water container. So there's no the Hashoshes of Shemi Shachik Samamonim don't apply over here. But nonetheless, it's clear that the Gzeirah D'Rabbanan does apply. That's how Tesis learns over here. You're not allowed to, the second Tesis from the top. Vacha liyavi kumkumus. So Tesis says, inami liyavi mishum refuah. If a person has a bellyache and he wants to put a hot water bottle on his belly, so Tesis learns in the second shat inami, you're not allowed to, that it's anisim mishum refuah. Ay, what shayach? There's nothing to grind over here. Nobody has the ability to grind water. You can't grind the plastic bag. So they say it's a loyplug rabbanon. Even when the reason for the gzera doesn't apply, the gzera still applies. That's like davish and minyan. So when you're not chaper, gazru otu shchikas amanim shain tvemi baluntas. The guy has a bellyache and he takes a towel. They took a towel and they put it on the radiator in the winter. So the steam comes up and the towel is very hot. And then, in order to treat his bellyache, so he wraps himself around in the towel and it makes him very warm, and his bellyache goes away. So the Gemara says that is permissible. So Tosafot wants to know what's the difference whether you use a hot towel that was sitting on the radiator or you use a hot water bottle. So they say, Nirikir Refuah. So that's that we had in the Gemara later. The only time they ask the Refuah, the Rabbanan, is if it's Refuah Hanikeres. If it's not a Refuah Hanikeres, then they never ask it. Let's say there are some people that drink schnapps all the time. Shikurim and drink schnapps. They're non-shikurim. There are a lot of shikurim in the world, however you put it. There are a lot of people drink a lot of schnapps all the time. So even though this guy only drinks schnapps and he's sick, so for him, schnapps is a medication. But still, he has to say a bracha on it, even though he can't stand the way it tastes. There are a lot of people who enjoy the flavor of schnapps. You have to say some bracha over the schnapps. And you're allowed to take the schnapps on Shabbos because that's not called a refuah hanikeres. Because some people, a lot of people will drink schnapps when they're not sick. So that's the Tosfos draws a distinction. If you're going to wrap yourself, if you take your towel and you put it on the radiator till it gets hot, and then you wrap it on your belly when you have the belly ache, so that's lo mechzikir refuah kolkach. The Aluntas case is not so conspicuous, not so noticeable that it's mechzikir refuah kolkach. But if you're going to put a hot water bottle, then it's mechzikir refuah. And that's the cloud, that refuah is only awesome with the Rabban, and it's refuah hanikeres. If it's not nika, then it's muta. That was the assumption later. The Gemara has a din. One is not permitted to talk and learning, even to think and learning. Also, lahara diretar bebeis amecha, so bebeis akise. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, what happened over here? Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi apparently was a student of Rabbeinu HaKodesh, of Rabbi Yudah Nosi. So he followed him into the Beis HaMerchot, and he wanted to warm up a Pak Shal Shemen for him, and Rabbi Yudah Nosi told me you're not allowed to, it's an Issa Bishul. He's talking in the Beis HaMerchot. Half of the people are undressed over there. So what's going on? How can he talk and learn? He said, the Gemara says, Lafrushim Yisura, it's permissible to me. He didn't give him the whole pilpul in the Beis HaMerchot. He said, don't do that. Said, don't do that. So that's permissible to say if it's necessary. Lafrushim isur, then you're allowed to say that. Otherwise, the Gemara says you're not permitted to say divrei Torah even in English. Misdama would be a bigger mitzvah to talk and learning in Hebrew. No. That's a shaila. The Gemara in Brachos has a discussion in the beginning of the second parak where the kol ha-tarek kula b'chalosh nemra. So what's the shaila? So the Taisa says the shaila is on there's a machlekes hatanan where the kriya shema can be fulfilled in translation or only in the originals. Each tana has a drasha. So the tana says we paskin you can fulfill the mitzvah kriya shema in translation, and one tana says you cannot. Machlekes of Yudah Rabbi Yezid. So the tana who says you cannot has a drasha from a pasuk that you cannot. Has to be in the original. Sounds like only over here he has a drasha. And kol ha-terekulah by all other kriyas ha-terah has no drasha. So there we leave it on the svarach itzayna that you can yet to kriyas ha-terah deraisa in translation. The Tanu says that you cannot, each Tanu needs a xeris ha-kosov to say what the din is like kriyashma. So it seems that they disagree with each other. What's the svarach itzayna? What would you say in a case? So there's no pasuk one way or the other. Would you say you can only fulfill Kriyas HaTorah in the original Hebrew, or you can fulfill Kriyas HaTorah in translation? So that's what Taisa says to Kasha. What Kriyas HaTorah there is? The all Kriyas HaTorah is a Takonis, Moshe Rabbeinu, Ezra, Takonis HaTanoim, Anshek Nesak Deilo. The Gemara is talking about Kriyas HaTorah as if it's an institution that exists on the level of their Isa. The Taisa comes up with their Einfall, Pasha Zohar, and Pasha Spora. So that there is a Kriyas HaTorah that's their Isa. So the writer on that Gemara, they quote the writer. The writer says no. Kol tarkul b'chalosh nemra b'losh nakadosh nemra. It's not a shaila of kriya sator. A yet the kriya sator in translation. There is no kriya sator there, writer. It's a shaila of Talmud Torah. Are you yet to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah only in the original Hebrew because at Namre Hasina the Torah is proclaimed in losh nakadosh? Or should you say that just because the original Namre Hasina Matan Torah was in Hebrew? Doesn't necessarily follow that when we want to learn, we have to learn Torah in the original Hebrew. So when the Rabbit raises the possibility that one only fulfills the mitzvah of Talmud Torah in the original Hebrew, what's he talking about? I mean, when you talk in English, you give a share in English, you're not Yotze. You give a share in Yiddish, you're not Yotze. You have to speak Dafke Hebrew. So the Pashto says the Rabbit is not talking about Torah Shabbat Peh. The Rabbit Alpi Pashto is talking about Torah Shabbat Sav. There's a mitzvah to talk and learning Torah Shabbat Peh, to talk about ideas. That's even the Hagisa by Yom HaValayla, Hegyon Libi is Machshava. So the Vilna Gaon says a person has to recite the Bichas HaTorah when he's thinking and learning. Because to think and learning on Torah Shabbat Peh is also a mitzvah. You fulfill a mitzvah of Talmud Torah by thinking and learning. And then, so in thinking, you're going to say a difference in one language and another language, not Nistabu. So the Rabbit is talking about Torah Shabbat Sav. There is a mitzvah to learn Torah Shabbat Sav, to recite Torah Shemusav. It's called Mikra to recite Tanakh Torah Shemusav. So what if you recite it in translation? Are you in fulfillment of the mitzvah or not? So that's what the Gemara thought, that there's a machlokes hatanan, where they call it Tarakula, b'cholosh nemra, b'losh nakodesh nemra. What do you mean nemra? If matan Torah, of course it was nemra, b'losh nakodesh. Machlokes is, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvah to learn Torah Shebichtav, are we only in fulfillment of the mitzvah, only in the Torah Shebichtav, if you say it in the original, the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated it to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how you have to say the Torah in the original Hebrew. But if you say you can be Yoy Tatam Torah B'cholosh. So this whole idea, it would be preferable to talk and learning in Hebrew, along the lines of the writer, only makes sense in Stam and Torah Shebichtav. If you're talking Torah Shebichtav, talking about it's talking and learning, you're not reciting Mikra, it doesn't make sense that anybody should insist that it has to be Dafke B'Losh Nakodesh. So what does the Gemara have over here? In the Beis HaMerchatz, in the Beis HaKisa, one is not permitted even to think about learning the Laharer, the Divrei Torah. What about, and to speak Divrei Torah, for sure you're not allowed to speak Divrei Torah. But if it's Dvarim Shalchal, Mutar Liyomran in the bathroom, B'Losh Nakodesh. If it's Dvarim Shalchadish, also Liyomran in the bathroom, Afilu B'Losh Nakodesh. That's what the Gemara says. How do you determine what you're allowed to talk about in Beis HaMerchatz, what you're not allowed to talk about? It doesn't matter what language you're speaking, even though possibly speaking Losh Nakodesh may constitute a mitzvah. But we're not talking about that mitzvah. The Bizoyan HaTorah is to talk Divrei Torah in the Beis HaMerchatz. So if he's talking Divrei Chol, Losh Nakodesh, Chol is Chol. And to talk Divrei Kodesh, even in translation, even if it's not a translation, even if it's not the original Hebrew, and it's not a direct translation of the Torah, still, the Rei Torah, you're not allowed to talk in Beis HaMerchatz.
Why do they have a machlokes
whether Kriya Shema can be said in other
languages also? Isn't there the first Mishnah
Yidul Le'Amarin
in Sota? It talks about that
before.
It says that.
Yeah, so I imagine the Gemara probably quotes that machlokes from Brachas. Brachas is a machlokes. Hatanoi, whether he can be Yaitse Kriya Shema in translation. The Mishnah Sota assumes that he is Yaitse in translation, but they're probably going to quote the other Tana who disagrees. It is a machloikas. Okay, then the Gemara Amud Aleph had the history, the historical level. At one time it was muta to bathe, rechitza b'chama was muta. Then the Tanaim prohibited it, but they never prohibited the Zayah. And then they saw that the people are violating one thing leading to another, so they had to prohibit Zayah as well. And then apparently at a later generation, Rosh, Ein Adavar Eimed Lohem, what does it mean? Ein Adavar Eimed Lohem. The Rashi says, it's too difficult to observe such a gzeira that they even prohibited the zeira. So the Gemara says, from the Pashtus and the Gemara, it would appear the way Rashi learns, when you have a gzeira, it doesn't fall apart automatically. You have to have, this is grounds for a later bezin to repeal the original enactment. Even though usually the din is ain't bezni yochal abatel de bezni chavera, elam ken gadol imene b'chokma v'minyan. But if the later bezni ascertains that the original zera de rabban that was made by the earlier bezni is ain't right by tibi yocholim lamed boy, so we don't say never got off the ground. No, you say got off the ground. The zera was a zera, but the later bezni has the right to repeal it, despite the fact that they're not greater b'chokma v'minyan than the earlier bezni. That's what it sounds like over here. Because rogue shena davar amid lahem, it's not yicholim lamed boy. Shelo hayati b'cholim l'kav mitoch shas alam zako. It's too much. So itu lahem chamit veri. And zeb and koy mamed is they asked zeb. They asked. Then the Gemara has a different opinion when you ask the Rechitzas Kol Aguf as opposed to Panel Yodav Ragla, what does that mean? The one opinion is if you bathe Kol Aguf and you just leave that one pinky, that's not a violation of Rechitzas B'chamah. It's a difficult opinion. If you leave out one aver, Amarav Reichit. Reichit kol gufo or mishayer aver echad. You can take the full bath, just leave that one hand. So leave that one hand, so there's no violation of the chita. So that's a shver shita. The Gemara had earlier, we assume that that's not permissible if you bathe rova gufa zasa. But the Gemara had a machlek yisamarayim before. What if he's going to wash aver aver? He doesn't wash all the aver in the basakas. He's just washing aver aver. If he washes the right hand and the left hand and his face, then his top of his arm, then the top of the other arm, then this foot and the other foot and this thigh and the other thigh. So it comes out at the end of the day he washed rov haguf, but it wasn't rov haguf but basachas. So that's a machlokes amaron, where the aver aver is also, if it adds up to rov haguf, aver aver is mutter. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's also aver aver is also. Then we discussed yesterday Hamavashal b'chamitz veriyo, that it's only an isa bishul de rabbanon. So the Gemara says you're not going to have a chi of misa. The worst he can have is going to be makas mardis, because we assume Hamavashal b'chamitz veriyo is only de rabbanon. Yeah, is that really so? That's the shot that we raised yesterday. The Gemara raised the question: maybe chamitz veriyo is considered toldos ha'ech, maybe it's not considered toldos ha'cham. That's a shadow. What heats up the chametz veriyo? The Gemara talks a little bit about swimming. I like to go swimming on that. So part of the gzeras ein shoten apnei ha'mayim. Ein shoten apnei ha'mayim means you're not allowed to go rowing a boat. And also because of the Xerishami Sakan Khovishal Shayatim, he may fix the broken oars, he may fix the broken boat. But not only is a shatan mean you're not allowed to row a boat on Shabbos and Yontif, even if there's an Erev, not a Shalom Hatzor, a shatan includes that you're not allowed to go swimming on Shabbos and Yontif. But a shatan in the sense of swimming only applies if it's Leis Legidudei. What does it mean? It has like the edge of the river. In a river, what would you would usually use a canoe or a rowboat. On such a river, it's not permissible to go swimming. But if you have a swimming pool, where it doesn't have a gradual bank, like the banks of the river, it has a sudden drop. So whenever you have a sudden drop, then it doesn't look at all like the location for canoes. People don't put canoes in a swimming pool. So therefore, the whole Xeris ain't shot and wouldn't apply in such a situation. You just have to be careful. Yeah, one of the Rabbanim is a famous story 40, 50 years ago. One of the prominent Rabbanim in America said it's permissible to go swimming on Shabbos in the local Y. Yeah, but you have to be careful not to squeeze out the swimming trunks. And what's he going to do before? So they used to drive to the Y. What do you mean? Well, what are you going to do before? What are you going to do after? The swimming per se is mutter. He quoted this line in the Gemara. This is lig dudi, less lig dudi. If it's in a swimming pool, it's mutter. If it's in a river, it's us. The question is, what are they going to do before? What are they going to do after? They're driving to the swimming pool. They're going to squeeze out the trunks. They have to pay $1 admission to get into the Y. What else is going on over there? Just this per se, just the swimming alone is not a problem. Then the Gemara has a mem aleph from an aleph. Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion. The Amora Rabbi Yehuda was of the opinion. This is a Torah Karta's Gemara that when the Novi Yirmiyah said Bavel Yivo v'shama Yiu, they have to stay in Bavel until the Rabbanu Shel Olam will call upon them that they should come back to Eretz Yisrael. So that prophecy was delivered by Yirmi after the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. So Rabbi Yehuda is on the opinion that it still applies even after the Churban Bayis Sheni. The nevuah was they should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, but not that they should go back. Yeah, I don't know. Ezra Nehemiah was schlepping people back.
Yeah.
For the purpose of building the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know. How does he deal with that? Maybe he holds after the Churban HaBayis, it came back again. But Ezra and Nehemiah were interested in building the Beis HaMikdash, that then they were commanded to, they had to. And after the Churban Bayis Sheni, we're back to where we were after the Churban Bayis Rishon. The Rabbi Yehuda claims that that pasuk that Yirmiyah said after the Churban Bayis Rishon still applies now also after the Churban Bayis Sheni. The other Chachamim didn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda. Why were the pasuk? What did they do with the pasuk? So Rashi says, Rabbi Zeira Malach, I probably Klishar is Ksiv. As it says in Ksuvah, Zav Kufi Ham, it doesn't go on the people. But Eli Yivav Hashem Yehu is a curse. It's not a din. That the Kalim will remain there in the Bavel until the Rabbanu Shalom will be good and ready. So the Gemara says that the student, Rabbi Zeira was a student of Rabbi Yehuda. He had made up his mind he's going to go to Eretz Yisrael, but he's embarrassed to confront Rabbi Yehuda with his decision, because Rabbi Yehuda is going to scream at him that you're not allowed to go back. So the Gemara says he went to visit his Rebbe Rabbi Yehuda for the last time, and he heard him tell over this health recommendation. He was so excited. Givaldik. If he would have only come to hear this, Givaldik Gavot from the Rebbe would have been Givaldik. Okay, but the Rebbe was a doctor. They gave him an eitz on how to have healthy eating and healthy exercising and so on. Okay. And every generation, the people have to listen to the doctors. You have to take good care of your body. The students have to see to it that they exercise enough so they'll be healthy. You shouldn't eat junk foods. Yeah. Okay. Tomorrow we have a toss-up. Tomorrow we should learn, we should chazavaita, or we should do parshas kedoshim.